Hello and welcome to Top of the Progs on Smile Radio, and also in association with and broadcasting on Progzilla Radio. You're currently listening to In the Dead of Night by UK. I hope you enjoy it.
Are you one of mine who can sleep with one eye open wide?
The fabulous In the Dead of Night there by UK. Hello and welcome to Top of the Progs on Smile Radio, and also in association with and broadcasting on Progzilla Radio. Now, it is guest season upon us, is on Top of the Progs, because last week we had Simon Davali of Mama, This Winter Machine, and Charlie Bramald of Ghost of the Machine, and this week we have the one and only Patrick Spillane, my bandmate in the Exotic Isis project, Big Rooster Jeff. He's here. He's going to play me some weird off-the-wall prog tracks. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm glad to be here. Finally, I'm glad to be here after all this time of doing this radio project. I've only just had the opportunity to join. So, yes, thank you.
So, listeners, you're probably familiar with Pat because I've mentioned him a lot on the show. When I play certain tracks that he's got me into, or I've got him into, or something like that. Pat had a little fact, by the way, about In the Dead of Night, which you would like to share about Alan Holdsworth.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, during the middle section, the instrumental section, there's that sound on one of the offbeats of Bill Bruford, that chit sound. Yeah. And it's actually the sound of Alan Holdsworth opening a tin of Timmy Taylor's halfway through his solo. But they just sampled it and put it all the way through.
Yeah, just Eddie Jobson confirmed it earlier. Just don't try and sue us, Eddie Jobson. In fact, Pat's getting a beer right now.
You really? Da-ding, da-ding, da-ding.
That was brilliant. Anyway, we're going to do the same as last week, where we're going to go back and forth picking tracks. Pat likes a lot more European prog rock, I think, is probably the best thing. Pat likes all the Italian bands, Goblin, things like that, Fetus. He likes kind of a lot more of the experimental stuff than I do, and he's going to be playing some tracks. So what song would you like to play first?
Well, I guess, seen as though the first track you played was the one I was going to pick. We're going to start off easy. We're actually going to go to 10cc. We're going to pick Blackmail by 10cc. And it's purely, you know, it's a bit more of a sort of pop function of theirs compared to, say, Mandy Fly Me or How Dare You, example, which is a really good progressive track. But just the guitar work in this, the double time recorded screechy guitar, it's just this. This will get us a nice pop vibe, and then we'll destroy that with the next track.
Okay, this is Blackmail by 10cc.
She made
Okay, that was absolutely brilliant. Oh, I've not listened to the last time I listened to that. Funnily enough, we were on the way back from doing an interview at Smile Radio at the Smile Bar in Huddersfield. We had this on the way back.
And we had that Iggy Pop song as well, didn't we? That
That Thin Lizzy as well.
Oh yes, Thunder and Lightning album, Thin Lizzy.
I love that. I really enjoyed that. It's got, you know, like the middle bit with the guitar solo. I kind of thought to myself, this is like Pink Floyd. It could have been on Animals, you know, the middle bit, the guitar solo. It sounds like a more upbeat, you know, version of Sheep or Pigs or something, doesn't it?
Well, there's just this massive, horrible debate that 10cc aren't prog. Obviously, they're very pop and they were hit machines and they produced some of the nicest sounding tracks of all time. If you don't like them, the way that they recorded it was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I mean,
and Strawberry Studios, if it wasn't for Strawberry Studios in near Manstockport, I think if it wasn't for Strawberry Studios, many of the Manchester bands that everyone knows and loves from the 70s, 80s and 90s would not have existed the same way.
Yeah.
So I open this debate to you all. 10cc, they're great.
Yeah. What's cool about that as well is, like, obviously that's from 1975 and the original soundtrack, and the production is very modern. You know, like, the kick's clearly defined, as is all the
instruments.
Whereas,
like, you get Emerson, Lake and Palmer, there's no bass drum
whatsoever. Yeah. But it's a really good track.
It's filthy, isn't it?
So we're gonna keep it light now for my next choice. I'm gonna subject Pat to a little bit of Marillion, but I think you're gonna like this one. I think you won't be shocked at how much Fish the lead vocalist sounds like Peter Gabriel. This is like their most famous, like, pop prog song, if that makes sense. This is the one that's, like, everyone talks about that's not Kaylee.
It's not Incommunicado, is it?
It is Incommunicado. Oh, do you know that one? Do you know that one? Have you heard that one?
Incommunicado!
Okay, we'll go for a different one.
I'm sure you remember me making fun of that one in the past.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll go for an actual banger off Misplaced Childhood then. This is genuinely become one of my favourite songs.
That'll do.
This is Childhood's End from Misplaced. So, you know Misplaced Childhood, the concept album?
Yeah.
This is like the finale when he realises that he's like an adult and he has to move on, and it's like the conclusion of 40 minutes of prog epicness. This is Childhood's End by Marillion.
Let's do it. And it was morning.
Was Childhood's End by Marillion. You are listening to Ruby with a little bit of Pat on Smile Radio and Progzilla Radio. Give us three rings when you get in, cock. What did you think of that one, Cocker? Did you enjoy that?
Well, cock. yeah, no, that the drums in there very much reminded me of myself.
Yeah.
And just one thing in choruses that it only works in some tracks that make it absolutely right banger.
Yeah.
Is when you go on the bell of the ride.
Yeah.
Cocker bell. And it's just a ting tick ting tick that it just adds such a dimension of a groove to what is otherwise, because that was a pretty straight chorus, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't too frivolous with any sort of signatures.
That's like the whole of Misplaced Childhood is pretty. It's pretty straight, but they managed to make it more exciting with that those little elements that kind of make just 4/4 more. It's 1985.
It sounded like very much 1985.
So it's an interesting side note about that. So the cover is like the kid. He's got like a military jacket on and he's holding a flower.
Yeah,
and it's supposed to be fish when he was a kid. He was having like a really bad trip and he saw the kid out of the corner of his eye, and that gave him the inspiration to write the whole album. Was like this trip scene. The kid out the corner of his eye.
Yes.
And I was like, that was an interesting story of Fish's crispy days. Marillion the crisp era from
that's when they were moth.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad was a massive fan of Marillion, because like at the time, like for his generation, who were just a bit too young for like Genesis and, you know, like King Crimson and Yes, like in the early 70s, Marillion was basically, that was it. That was the only kind of big prog band in the 80s. So yeah. They're kind of like, you had to be there. Do you know what I mean? Like to appreciate that music fully, you had to be there. Like, because Fish was doing like Painting His Face, like Peter Gabriel, and you kind of just had to be there, you know.
Well, there's this very sort of dividing prog that I found. Obviously, yeah. With pop prog, and you know, that to me, that was very much a pop song,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
what I mean,
yeah,
it absolutely,
yeah,
was from,
yeah,
a band such as that,
yeah.
And it was very 80s, yeah. You know, the problem with prog that I found in general is that it's very of its time, some,
yeah,
of it
definitely,
absolutely,
yeah,
leaked through, and you think, God, this is still great now,
yeah.
But sometimes you play this one to your mate and they're like, his voice is a bit silly, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's,
yeah,
what,
yeah,
they,
yeah,
did in the
70s. It's like Fish will go now, and then you hear now, 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 now. And you can, well, just tell straight away.
Even 10cc, one, most 10cc songs have that silly high pitch. I'll just kick the microphone. have that high pitched voice, and yeah. I just know enough people that couldn't get along with that.
Yeah.
You can't listen to the track, you know.
Yeah, and it's like the synths, like in Marillion, like for example, Incommunicado, which you hate the synth in, that is so obnoxiously 80s, the one that's like doing that main melody.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so your next pick, Cocker, is a Goblin track.
Yes, well, I've just randomly got into Goblin by accident after hearing Profondo Rosso. Oh, excuse me. We're drinking a lot of cans today.
Yeah.
From Profondo Rosso, which is from the film Profondo Rosso, Deep Red. And it had a really good timing bit, and I just looked a bit further, and it just took me away, and Goblin absolutely transformed how I thought about sort of prog music, in the sense of they managed to condense a 7-minute prog song into less than 3 minutes,
yeah, yeah,
because they did movie soundtracks for horror, yeah, films. They weren't scary, and a lot of them were very cheesy, but yeah, this is a Connection from the film Contamination. Oh, it's an undercover banger, this.
So this is Connection. Connection by Goblin. That does just sound really kind of, I don't know, there's, like you said, it sounds scary, like, you know, it fits the brief for the soundtrack, doesn't it?
I mean, it's groovy, like yeah. That dig-a-da-dig-dig, that's absolutely, that taught me a lot about time, how things can still be 4-4 but sound absolutely wrong.
Yeah, and, like it's a...
that sort of thing.
Yeah, like it's almost the hook of the track, isn't it? Because there's no vocals, because it's instrumental. That's like what the vocals will be in there.
Well, most, pretty much nearly all of the Goblin material, not all of it, because there was some with vocals, but because it was for film soundtracks, they didn't need it. But that's the first track of that album. And if you listen through it, there's a few other sort of tunes. And then they reprise everything to make it all into one massive medley. And
So
there's another couple of tracks where those familiar riffs come back, but done in a different way. And it did just open my world up to, like, how things just... prog doesn't have to be a certain way.
Yeah, definitely.
You can definitely tell they were very influenced by Western prog.
Oh, definitely,
You know, even though they're, you know, sort of European.
Yeah, but it's still got their own tinge to it. Like, it's not just a copy of prog rock. They've still got their own sound, which is really nice about it.
Yeah, I was very, very pleased when I found that.
Yeah. This next song is a kind of mutual banger, a mutual favourite. This show is going to be a very Bill Bruford heavy show. He's going to be appearing a lot.
Say banger as well, do you think, in the next half an hour?
Yeah.
The proof is what we need. The proof is in the pudding. We've said this before.
Yeah, I think we were both... This is going to sound like one of the funniest phrases that has ever come out. We were both lockdown broofers, weren't we? Like in 2020, that was when we both... In 2021, that was when we both really got into like...
Well, I had that horrible BMW, that estate with the silly wheels. Yeah. And it had a massive subwoofer in it. And I'd got massively into that first UK album.
Yeah.
And so did everyone else in his, you know, sort of 3-mile radius. Whether they liked it or not, and it was it was unfathomable. And it was actually the Terry Bozzio version of your other banger.
In the Dead of Night.
No.
30 Years.
No.
The Only Thing She Needs.
The Only Thing She Needs. I was coming home from Aldi in the sun during lockdown, and it actually blew the subwoofer at that time. So
funny.
And finally, Terry Bozzio won that one.
So this is Bruford's signature track. It's track one from his Best Of. It's track one from his One of a Kind album. The one where the cover looks like he's getting that Rustless in the middle of the night out of the microwave. This is an absolute classic. It's got a Holdsworth solo. I think it's one of the best tracks ever written. This is Hell's Bells by Bruford.
We'll be right back.
a slice of absolute perfection there from some Bill Bruford.
That's history for this programme. Yeah, I remember when you played that on one of the very first few shows for Smile Radio.
Yeah.
And me and Sean were listening to it. Sean Kitchingman, hello. Yeah, we're listening to it in the conservatory, the conservature, if you will. You were saying after you put it on, you said about your mother had caught on to it and showed it. You sound very, very pleased about that.
Yeah. still doesn't know. You can hear it going around the house going. The reach of that is absolutely. The reach of that is amazing. That's exactly what we were talking about, though. The biggest barrier to that is the synthesizer sound.
But people don't like it because it's quiet. You can't turn it up particularly loud.
Yeah, exactly.
Some other bangers, you put them really loud. They're very loud.
Yeah, yeah.
But that just never quite cuts it. And that synth just is enough to throw up. No, I'm not listening to this.
And it's like there is the remix of it, but the remix of it, although it's objectively better, it just doesn't have the same magic as that original version, does it? The remix is just not as... There's somewhat lost in it.
It takes me to a place that you introduced to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I can never forget that. So it was very good.
What do you want to have next? What next banger do you want to subject us to?
Unfortunately, this is the time for everyone to sit back and listen to a little bit of Fetus.
So we've gone straight from heaven to hell, basically.
It's scraping Fetus off the wheel. So J.G. Thirlwell is a man, a multi-instrumentalist, and he did Fetus in this sort of very early 80s to late 80s, and still does a bit now. He's actually releasing some more. And it's called Descent into the Inferno.
Yeah, I found
and
it.
And besides some of the more wilder tracks that he did that are progressive, this is one where it just gets faster and faster and bigger, but it's the Fetus song that I put on and people say, actually, I like this.
So, for a little bit of backtrack, you know, for those lucky enough to have never heard of them, who are Fetus? How could you describe what Fetus are? Briefly, sum up.
So, I discovered Fetus as an industrial type sort of... It was a single man, you know, a single man, probably is. It was an industrial project that this bloke did, but he's an Australian doing recordings in England that sounded very American, of like cowboy sort of bluesy type stuff, but with a really industrial sound of using samples of horrible noises to make drum beats and that.
Yeah.
And I could put you ones on that. Ah, really? Wow, this is a bit weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But this seems to be the one everyone likes, and just give her a go.
Okay, we are descending into the inferno.
And this is one as well where you're not allowed to take your headphones off for the entirety of this journey, I'm afraid.
Okay, so we are descending into the inferno on this show with Descent into the Inferno by Fetus.
Scraping Fetus off the wheel. Another hungover morning in the bottom of the Black Lagoon. Purgatory disguised as a room with a view. I used to be in heaven looking down. Now I know the inferno from the inside. And you can't see out the windows, and smoke gets in your eyes. And I just wanna cry, 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 cry. And a scene sprawling landscape of nothing. And nothing is its middle name. Meets you on the corner of nothing and nowhere. Where in hell is that? So for that you can't see 10 feet in front, I want everything to disappear. Give me an isolation tank, make a withdrawal from a blood bank. You can't see out them windows, and smoke gets in your eyes, and I just wanna cry, 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 cry. Give me the stiff one and make it a double. I don't know when I've had enough, but I've never had enough, and I've never been bad enough. I need it and I need it bad.
I'm trying hard to DIY, but
And there we have. I think that's the one. That's the one I've disliked the least out of all of us.
I didn't know how many less listeners you'd have after that.
Yeah.
The thing is, the best part, obviously, that was the progressive in the sense of it was louder and louder and bigger and faster. But the sheer skill that this bloke will have had in the very quite early 80s doing the sampling that he did.
Yeah.
And on all of his tracks, the drums seem to have such a particular attention.
Yeah, yeah.
Being the drummer that I am. You got the standard beat in there for whatever it is, but loads of tom work, loads of other sort of percussive sounds. And to do that then on his own will have been impressively hard, as you'll know.
Yeah, and it's like, objectively, it's a great track because it's very inventive. You know, like the tempo changes must have been really hard because obviously, like with those synth sounds, they're programmed like those ones.
Yeah.
They'll have been programmed in, so obviously he'll have had to program a click track. Programming a click track for that where it changes BPM and he'll have had to map it all out.
There's
it
no
have been
back
yeah,
then.
It will. Yeah, and it's quite clear. The tempo changes are all really clean as well, so it'll have taken a lot of editing, you know, to get it how he wanted it. So I think objectively, it's a very progressive track. Like,
besides the subject matter, whatever he talks about in the rest of his music, it's just very clever. You know, it's one of those, and I am a man of clever.
Yeah. Well,
are you going to lead on from that?
Yeah, yeah. Funnily enough, I need to quiz you on what you have and haven't heard for the next song. Have you heard the song Abacab by Genesis?
Yeah, but just play it. Yeah.
Okay, so there's...
I want it on again.
Okay. Well, funnily enough, since you've heard Abacab, right? You know, we were talking about the pop prog thing earlier, like... Yeah. So Abacab is Genesis' most controversial album, and I think it's got some of their best tracks on it. But that's only because it's the same reason we
like the controversy.
It's because we like Momentary Lapse and Division Bell. It's because we've overplayed the others. You know, right, when you go back to the reason Abacab is controversial is because
Babacab.
They turned up and they'd not written any tracks, so it was just all improvised. Like previously, for example, like Firth of Fifth came in. Tony Banks had written it as like a full song, and it's just Genesis playing his
but
song.
But isn't that how we work now? There's the bare bones of an idea.
But this one, it was all just improv, and it was very raw, like it was everything was the first take. It was the first one they did in their own studio, and it's a very divisive album, but I think it's one of their best. I think, like, I used to hate it, but now I'm older, I can appreciate it, and it's like one of the first albums to have that 80s drum sound. And because, like, it's very sparse in terms of overdubbing, it's very live, that 80s drum sound kind of fills out the space a little bit.
Do it.
But this is one of my favourites off the album. It's a pop prog masterpiece, in my opinion. This is very controversial. This is Keep It Dark by Genesis.
dog.
Absolute banger right there.
Yeah, what I was just mentioning was how the drums are just, you know, straight, but it's the riff that catches you out.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing I love more. It was King Crimson 80s that sort of got me. We ain't played any. We need to do another show after this. Right? This is not enough time.
I told you the hour goes, doesn't it? Very quickly.
I'll tell you what, next time we'll just play my tunes. Yeah.
Cheeky. No, really in our Genesis.
It does the thing, and the thing is when you've got two little signatures that are in perfect harmony,
yeah,
and then they disappear and they come back again,
And it's like Phil Collins is one of the busiest drummers on the planet. Like, for example, on a song, The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, that's a really simple song, it's all 4-4, but he goes mental on it, doesn't he?
It's Bill Bruford on the 80s yet again. It's one of those where he... Even though it's a 4-4 bit, he makes it so it sounds like it's not, just because he's an absolute ass.
But then on Keep It Dark, Phil Collins does the opposite. It must have been so hard for him to not play any fills for that song and just do bunk bang all the way through.
To be honest, Keep It Dark, I really don't think that'd be all, you know, sort of still. I'm glad you've brought that one.
Absolutely
back
destroyed. Absolutely destroyed.
I'm glad you brought that one back.
This next song is funnily enough. Yeah. Try and get the segue in after that one. Blimey. Top of the Bronx goes off the air for 6 months after this. Charlie Bramwell's going to be signed off work for 6 months after when he listens to this. But
my clothes are just falling off.
A kind of thing with me and Pat is we like music that nobody else likes. That's one of our little jokes in it that we talk about.
We just hate that we want to try and enlighten them. Yeah. Say, you know, there's this good bit, but the rest of it they don't like.
And this is another one of those tracks that's probably aged the worst out of any track we've played on this show, without a doubt.
Besides Flying Star.
Yeah. Oh my word.
Is that the next one?
Yeah, that's what we're going to go out on. We're going to finish the show. We're finishing the show. Anyway, this next one is Emerson, Lake and Palmer. It's from the most hated album, Love Beach, which controversially is actually side one of Love Beach. You know, the All I Want Is You is a great track,
and Taste of
My Love is a pretty good track. But this is a personal Pat favourite. I can't remember who showed it first. I think you showed it to me first, and then I got into it. But there was a point where we would just listen to this endlessly.
If the fact that it was the best part I always found with prog music, it brought me into classical world. It made me give an understanding and a love for classical music.
Yeah, definitely.
Another proper instrumentalist, and obviously. This is a cover from Rodriguez.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But this is well better.
This is a bit of Canario by Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
We'll
Yeah, we just had it there. One of the best Emerson, Lake and Palmer tracks that nobody likes, but we've shared this with the world now.
But again, this is one of those arguments where, unfortunately, that synthesizer has been the barrier between that song and some of my friends. They get it, and they understand why, obviously, I like it. It's a phrase I hear a lot. I get why you like it, Pat. But we've always wanted to do a cover of this together.
Yeah, we have.
Me and you. And we just want to do it in such a way that it's a bit more palatable. It's, Rodriguez is a bit more compared to that. But
yeah. I guess it's kind of like another band we will play next time you're on this show is Sky, isn't it? And we're both big Sky fans.
Oh,
and it's kind of the same thing, isn't it? The reason we like all these bands is because it's the
Why
classical
we have
thing.
FIFA? I forgot
it's,
about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we don't. That'll be for when we do the 4-hour show.
Oh,
and we can,
that'll be good.
Yeah,
that, 24-hour awful marathon.
Don't listen to this radio show. Yeah. We're nearing the end of the show now, unfortunately. It's been a blast having Pat here, but we both were talking during Canary about the song to end the show with, and there was only one song that we thought would be appropriate, considering our history. And this is a very special song to both of us that we used to listen to a lot back in the day. Again, it's like Canary and Keep It Dark and Abacab. It's one of those, you know, albums or tracks that people don't talk about, they don't like to remember, but it's a classic. And,
it takes a lot of cans to like this one, and I think we're there.
Yeah. This is Flying Start by Mike Oldfield and Kevin Ayers. Thank you all for listening. I hope you have a good week. Goodbye.